You're listening to She Speaks, a Let Her Speak podcast that celebrates women's fearlessness, resiliency, and readiness to change the world.
Welcome. We're doing things a little differently today. As you might be able to tell, I'm not Catherine. My name is Abby Hassler, and I'm a cohort member of the Let Her Lead program in the Aspiring Leader track. I've spent the last few months learning about how to be a better leader in my community and working on my legacy statement that I'm going to read for you in just a moment. Catherine has also been generous enough to let me take over the mic and share about a little creative project that I'm working on. I hope you enjoy. I want to tell you about Lester. When we met, he was a man in his mid-70s living in a building behind my college campus. He grew up on a farm in Meigs County, Tennessee, and spent his career as an educator. He loved salmon cakes and his two daughters, one of whom died tragically a few years before. He had a soothing, deep voice and absolutely loved hearing himself talk. He had been suffering from a debilitating illness for several years and wanted to write his life story. He hired one of my friends to help him, so I tagged along. Over the next 2 years, I spent many afternoons listening to Lester's stories and arguing with him about immigration reform and his somewhat questionable political opinions. We would trim his beard, make him dinner, and one time we celebrated his birthday with a movie and sparkling cider. He passed away a couple years after we first met, but I frequently think about him and our time together. Lester made me think about what legacy means. In his book's dedication to his family, he wrote, "My life has not been sensational, not even notorious. There have been events and circumstances that some would consider interesting, perhaps even strange. Mostly, I can give you a sense of what it was like to live in my time." One of the lies we're told in the movies we watch or the books we read is that a legacy has to be something big, something world-changing. Now, I haven't written a best-selling novel. I'm absolutely not going to become president. I haven't gone viral on TikTok or cured cancer. People don't recognize me on the street. But I, like all of you listening now, have a story worth sharing. We're all legacies in progress. My legacy journey began not too far away from Knoxville. I was a shy, curious kid who loved reading, traveling, and wanted to be a writer someday. Does anyone remember Samantha Brown from the Travel Channel? That's who I wanted to be. Fast forward a few years and I'm not Samantha Brown, yet. But I am proud to be a creative director where I tell client stories every day. A few years ago, I got my master's degree in rhetoric, writing, and linguistics, which made me fall in love with research and become a better writer. I've been a volunteer English teacher for adults at a local nonprofit for the past 7 years, teaching hundreds of students from Central and South America. I married someone who taught me to be more patient and to not be afraid to make a rue. I'm lucky to have visited nearly every state and 24 countries. I make a pretty great lasagna and have completed most of the Kentucky Bourbon Trail. My Spotify is full of an embarrassing amount of sad girl music. And I love nothing more than curling up with a good book. All I know is that I got to where I am today because of a supportive family, hard work, a lot of luck, and good timing. As Lester wrote in his book, "My mistakes and successes cannot alone be the whole story. Every ancestor who delivered your genes, every person you've ever known, every morsel you've ingested into your body, every experience you've had is a part of you." I believe in the transformational power of stories, curiosity, and connection. Through teaching English, students have told me how challenging it is living in a community that belittles you for your accent or your language proficiency. Each trip I take makes me realize how massive the world is and how much more I have to learn. At work, I get excited about researchers who study hibiscus varieties and invent new technologies to clean up our environment. My partner's work at a local syringe exchange has challenged my preconceptions of drug use and how detrimental the war on drugs has been. When I think about my legacy, I return to Lester and the importance of giving people a voice. In the next few months, I want to launch a podcast to share intimate, everyday stories of people in our community. I want each episode to feel like you're sitting across from someone with a cup of tea or having a conversation with a stranger. I want to give the mic to people to share what brings them the most joy, lessons they've learned, and the challenges they have overcome. I want to explore identity and how power shapes, hurts, and empowers us in different ways. I want to tell stories about how we're all legacies in progress. I want to leave you with a final quote from Lester's autobiography. Everyone who has ever lived to maturity has a story to tell. Few get published and read by the masses, but it's a shame that everyone's story isn't available to at least their descendants. I've been thinking about legacy a lot lately. What do I want to be known for now? And in the years to come? What fills me with purpose? Right now, I want to be known as a storytelling vessel for others. I want to lift others up by inviting them to share what brings them the most joy, challenges they've faced, and lessons they might want to gift to the rest of us. But, and I'm going to be really honest here, the problem is I've had trouble figuring out where to even begin. I produce a podcast at my day job and have been a professional marketing writer for over a decade. So it seems that starting a side project would be in my wheelhouse. But when it comes to things that are deeply personal, are part of my own creative journey, I'm a lot harder on myself. I keep making excuses and convincing myself that no one wants to hear what I have to say. But I've realized that I'm letting fear keep me from the one thing I truly want to do. Can anybody relate? This is why I'm grateful to be part of the Let Her Lead program. It's given me the space to talk about and explore my desire to launch a podcast to share everyday intimate stories of people in my community. I'm so thankful to be part of the strong group of women dedicated to becoming better leaders and members of our community. But even with this support, I still have to make the first step. And that's really scary. So, like the good, curious introvert I am, I decided to start this process a little closer to home, essentially in my backyard. I live near a 7-story apartment complex for older individuals and those living with disabilities. On any sunny day, my neighborhood comes alive with residents zooming by in electric wheelchairs, walking tiny dogs, or setting up shop at multiple shade spots. There is always laughter, fighting, and a lot of cigarette smoke. And I absolutely love living in this beautiful microcosm of different personalities and ways of looking at the world. Over the years, I've gotten to know some of my neighbors, one of whom I will call Billy because he could cosplay as Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top with his long gray beard, fingerless gloves, and American flag bandana. He has an angry little dog named Sweetie that barks at anything and everything, including me. Billy parks his wheelchair in front of my house each morning, blasting his favorite bluegrass gospel songs and singing along. Walking to my car for work, he always pauses his music and comes over to remind me that I look lovelier than ever. It's a fun part of my morning routine that I didn't know I needed before. A few months ago, I didn't see Billy for several weeks. Later, I found that he had a really serious case of COVID and barely got out of bed. He's doing better now, but this experience made me realize how much I didn't know about Billy and the others living closest to me. Sure, I chat with people when I walk my dog or wave when I drive by, but I don't take the time to be as neighborly as I should be. And I want to change that. So in my first journey to give the mic to people in Knoxville, I want you all to tag along. In just a moment, you'll hear from Billy and learn his real name. If you want to hear more from him and other stories like this, follow me on social media.
My name is Donnie. I've been called Easy back when I was a hippie. And then when I got into motorcycles, it was Sleazy Easy. And then when I come to my senses, it went back to Donnie. And now that's just what it is right there, Donnie. I'm an old guy, pushing 70 to start with. I got an old dog. She's going on 11. And the neighborhood we live in is one of the better neighborhoods that I've ever lived in. I like where I live because before this, I lived under the bridge in the Salvation Army and the Mission. When my wife died, I fell to pieces. And I like this because when I got sober, I came here. Now, there's crazy stuff all around where we live now, but there's also a lot of good stuff. The people that I know, a lot of them think I'm a lunatic, okay? Because I've been saved, I've been forgiven, and I'm chief among the sinners. It was Sleazy Easy, okay? So I've been Donnie for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years now, and I've not always been this way, you know what I mean? I was 65 years old at the bus stop on the corner when the Lord came into my life. So now I throw up the peace sign and I just move on if something bad happens. I was born and raised here, but I moved on when I was 14. My mama died and I got a little Social Security thing, about $60, $70, but you could get a 30-day bus pass through Greyhound or Trailways to go anywhere you wanted to for 30 days. And that's what I did. I went all over the country on the bus when I was 14. By the time I was 16, I'd been to every state in the United States except Alaska or Hawaii. Every state. And I always got off and stayed. The only one I never stayed in was New York, because I got off at New York and wanted to get me a little weed, and this guy just took all my money. You know what I mean? When I was out in California, I did 10 years in prison in California. 10 years, 16 days to be exact. And my brother helped me get my parole here. And I was living for the Lord, I thought. I was living for the Lord. And I was driving a truck and I met her at a Waffle House. She was the manager of a Waffle House and a cook. And she'd cook me up some good, delicious eggs and bacon. She did a fine job for me. And I'd always leave her a $3 or $4 tip. Didn't want to go crazy or nothing. Tell her how pretty she was. And I don't know, one thing led to another, and I had two kids when I was 60 years old. You know, my life has worked out in decades, you know, like chapters in a book. I'm in my last chapter right now. My neighbors, they started out tolerating me. And now I'm welcome with open arms. It's amazing what a couple of years will do for you. It's not too late for anybody.
This episode of She Speaks is brought to you by our amazing partners at Shod Companies. She Speaks is produced, edited, and scored by the very talented Travis Tench at Oak Hill Audio. If you loved the episode you just heard and want to support Let Her Speak's mission of elevating real women's stories, don't forget to follow, subscribe, and share at Let Her Speak USA. Together, we will make our voices heard.